Well, good morning. As you can tell, I'm still a little under the weather, so if I don't shake your hand, again, remember, it's because I genuinely love you. I actually feel like I'm, like, qualified to sing Frosty the Snowman or something right now. My voice is a little deeper, but listen, it feels good to be here regardless. There's nothing like Sunday morning where we get to come and be with our church family, to be able to dig into God's Word this morning. It's crazy to think about that we're already 2 weeks into this new year. I mean, when you really sit back, time, it flies by. But listen, I just want to say this before we get started. Last week, I had you guys make commitments and write those commitments on a sticky note. And of course, I went through each of those this week like I said I would and prayed specifically for each of those things and for you guys, and I'll continue to do that as we go through this year. But in going through them, I saw that we had three different people make commitments to follow Jesus. Amen? And listen, I don't know who wrote those, but I just want to say this to you. That's the greatest decision that you could have ever made. But listen, don't try and walk this Christian life alone. We're actually going to talk about that this morning. If that was you, choose to get baptized, choose to get connected to this church or another Bible-believing church, our community, it's necessary for us as believers, and it's necessary because that's the way we grow. It's necessary because that's how we persevere in our walk. But praise Jesus, as we talked about last week, that he is not done yet. Well, listen, we just said our memory verse together, so we can bypass that. Thank you, Kyler. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into our sermon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for breathing it out to us, as we talked about last week. Lord, we know that it's your very words meant to come to us to help us to understand who you are and to grow us and shape us. And so, Lord, we pray as we go to it this morning that it would do that very thing as believers, that we would understand it and be able to apply it to our lives in a very real way. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, that the gospel would be communicated, and Lord, that they would be changed through your words that have been breathed out, words that we know are powerful. And so, Lord, again, give us your eyes, your heart, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All righty. If you have your Bibles, keep your places there in Acts chapter 2. But flip over with me, if you haven't already, to the Old Testament as well, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. That's where we're going to hang out most of the morning. If you've been with us over the past several weeks, we've been looking at our new memory verse here in Acts and what it looked like to be a believer in this first century church. And what we've been trying to do is to relate it to FBC and what we have here to help you live as Christ intends, to live out this same lifestyle today. Our mission as a church, if you've been with us over the last year, it's to become a church without walls. And we want to become a church that prioritizes God's mission to make disciples around the world. That's why we recited Matthew 28 all last year. And we believe our responsibility in doing that is to deliver the message of the gospel to the lost, to disciple those that God brings to our faith family here at FBC, and deploy each other out in the different contexts that we each have to reach people. But guys, as we've been talking about, we can't accomplish what God's called us to alone. We need the church. We need the family of God. We have a responsibility to each other. And our responsibility, it involves that second thing of our vision statement, right? Our responsibility, it's to disciple each other, which we'll talk more about next week, which is why we've developed the ABCDE discipleship pathway here at FBC. We believe if we assemble together and if we devote ourselves to Bible study, if we find community with one another, if we disciple one another, if we equip one another, we'll grow and we'll be prepared to accomplish God's will in our lives. And so far, we've looked at these first two things, assembly and Bible study, right? And so this morning, naturally, we're going to go to C, right? Community. Obviously, in reading our passage in Acts, there's no question these believers, they found community together. I mean, just read it. It says they were with each other every day. They sold all their possessions. They broke bread together. They weren't just devoted to the Word of God and the assembly. They were devoted to each other. Guys, they found community with each other. And pay attention to this text. It was that community that led to that very last thing that we see there in our memory verse. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As Christian community, we have to realize it's necessary for us as believers to grow in our walk with Jesus. And it's necessary for us to accomplish the work He's called us each to. I've said this before, but if you've been one of those people that say, I can have a relationship with Jesus minus the church, you're only fooling yourself. You can't. Guys, it's impossible. And it's impossible because first, you can't love Jesus and not the people He calls you to. But second, you can't grow and persevere without Christian community, which takes commitment and devotion to one another. Is our community messy sometimes? Yeah. Can the people in this community be hurtful? Absolutely. But does it remove our obligation? Does it take away the fact that this community, it's actually good for us? Not a chance. Because we need Christian community. And so to kind of walk us through this idea of community, I want us to use the Ecclesiastes passage here in chapter 4 to show us why community is so important, why God has called us to a group of people like the people here at FBC. Why is this group of people so important in our lives? And to better keep us on track, I have 4 points for us this morning. Look, you said, oh, Pastor's sick this morning. It's going to be quicker. Listen, I got to talk slower. My throat hurts. So it's going to just buckle in, right? It's going to be a long ride. Number one, if you take notes, Christian community is profitable. Number two, Christian community is protective. Number three, Christian community is productive. And then lastly, number four, Christian community is powerful. And so if you're ready, let's look at this first point together. Christian community is profitable. If you haven't already, turn over to our passage in Ecclesiastes and look at verse 9 with me again. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, just a little context before we dig into this together. I don't think I've ever preached any passage from this book since I've been here at FBC, but we know Ecclesiastes, it was written by Solomon, who was the son of David, and listen, Solomon, he was a very interesting man. The Bible considers him to be wise. At the start of his reign, after his father's death, he started by faithfully pursuing God and leading the nation of Israel to follow after the law. And of course, in the story of Solomon, we see God approach Solomon and offer him anything that he could have possibly have wanted. And so he could have had anything, wealth, fame, whatever. But instead, Solomon, he asked God for wisdom. And he didn't seek this wisdom in an attempt to be the smartest guy in the room. He actually wanted this godly wisdom so that he might rule Israel in a way that pleased and honored God. And of course, if you know the story, God honored that request. He even gave him more than just that wisdom, which is why Solomon, he's actually considered the wisest man to have ever lived apart from Jesus. Listen, even today, we still benefit from Solomon's wisdom. Of course, he wrote this book, but he's best known for Proverbs, a book that's looked to for wisdom, even by those that don't consider themselves Christians. He also wrote sections of Psalms. He most likely wrote the Song of Solomon. Guys, we benefit from him to this day. And listen, in those writings, Solomon really shares his life experiences with us. You see, Solomon, he searched his whole life for the purpose of life. He tried to find its value in pretty much anything that he possibly could, even to the point of falling away for some time. And his writings, they're meant to show us the emptiness he found in all those worldly things, all the things that Solomon threw himself into, wealth or possessions or fame, power, sex, work, you name it. He talks about it. He says it's all in vain. It was empty. He actually concludes this book, Ecclesiastes, by showing his reader that apart from God, there's no true meaning in life. It's all empty. It's all in vain when it's divorced from the Creator, the Designer. And listen, in our immediate context, what he's speaking about in our passage this morning, it's about work and how oftentimes our pursuit of work, it leaves us alone. And so he uses this section of his book to show us the value of community and friendship, how it's actually beneficial to the work we're called to. Now, of course, we're speaking in Old Testament terms here, but guys, these values that Solomon speaks about here, it rolls over into what God's called us to together as a church. It's a principle that's been the same since God created us. We are just better together. The first reason that's true, if you look at this text, it's because our community, it's profitable. Guys, we're stronger together, and as a result, we just accomplish more. As our work, it's more fruitful the larger our community is. I mean, that's what he's saying here in verse 9. And in Solomon's logic here, it's pretty simple to follow. Two people, they're just better than one. They can accomplish more together than when they're separated. It's more profitable. Years and years ago, when I worked for Lowe's, I had the opportunity to go and work for a Habitat for Humanity project where we worked with about 50 other Lowe's employees to build a house for a needy family. And listen, together we built that house in 3 days. That's crazy, right? I mean, literally from the foundation to the finished product where they were inspecting the home, the house went up in 3 days. I mean, even with 50 people, that's almost impossible to really think about. But guys, could you imagine if I showed up on that job site and I was the only one there? Now, take aside that I have no clue what I'm doing. But if I did, right, even if I knew how to build a home, how long do you think it would have taken? Because I'd probably still be working on that house today, right? Because the work we're called to here at FBC as any Bible-believing church, it's to advance the kingdom of God by sharing the greatest news that any of us have ever heard. And guys, that's an incredibly difficult task. Some of you guys know that. You know as you begin to share it how hard it is. It's difficult when we're all working together, doing what we should be doing. But imagine trying to do that all alone. Constant state of defeat that you'd feel. We can't take the gospel to the ends of the earth without each other. The great news of that calling is that God never called us to do it alone. God gave us people. People we're called to. People that share the same mission. People motivated by the same spirit. People uniquely gifted to help in this mission. We are stronger together. And just as Solomon shows us here, we accomplish more together. And let me just be honest for a moment. Those that kind of shrug off church, so to speak, thinking it's not necessary in their life, because they're either ignorant of this high mission in which we've all been called to as believers. They're ignorant of what it actually means to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. They're ignorant of what God actually expects of them. Or listen, they're just plain arrogant. They're arrogant enough to believe that they can accomplish all of this on their own. They're arrogant of their own abilities, causing them to lose focus on the cross and the family that God has called them to. They're either ignorant or arrogant. And quite frankly, that's the problem with American Christianity today. There's too much me and not enough Jesus. As Let me just say this. Let us not be ignorant of what we've been called to as believers. It's why we recited the verse that we did for so long last year. Let us not be ignorant of what God expects us to do, what it takes to accomplish that, the means by which we do what he's called us to do. And let us not be arrogant of our own abilities. Let's not take our eyes off of Jesus. Let's embrace what God's called us to here at FBC so that we can accomplish more, all for the kingdom and glory of God. Because that's what we're called to. That's what we should care about. And so that's the first thing we see here. We embrace Christian community because ultimately we understand the great responsibility that we've all been given, and we understand that our community with one another, it makes us better because ultimately it makes us more profitable. The second thing we see here, it's that Christian community is protective. Look at verse 10 with me again. Solomon writes, "For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Guys, community with other like-minded people, it leads to godly help and protection. The reality of our Christian life, it's that we're not perfect. No matter how much you try and paint that picture to the people around us, no matter how much you try to show us that your marriage is perfect or that your kids are perfect or that you have this perfect life, that you have it all put together, your life's a fairy tale. Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. Everybody sees through that and it's baloney. Right? The Bible is very, very, very clear. I think I say this every week. All fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous. Paul says, no, not one. We're not perfect. In fact, John says in his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, he talks about if we believe that we're without sin, then the truth, it doesn't reside in us. We don't understand it. We're deceiving ourselves if we really believe that we have it all together. Or maybe you realize you're not perfect, but maybe you still think, well, I'm not as bad as you fill in the blank. Shame on you if you're filling in the blank. Guys, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Every one of us, we fall. We make mistakes. It happens. In my quiet time this week, I've been going through the church reading plan, and I read about Abram in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to talk about this specific story in a couple of months when we get back into Genesis. But, of course, if you know the story, Abram was chosen by God, and God promised to make him his name great, to give him the promised land, to bless the nations through his seed, right? And, of course, Abram, he was considered righteous because of his faith in what God promised. And a lot of times we kind of distort what he was actually faithful in, but he was faithful to what God had promised him. Now, his faith, it didn't make him perfect. It made him hopeful. You understand? It didn't make him perfect. It made him hopeful. In fact, if in the same chapter, and as you go through chapter 12, Abram, he has to leave and travel to Egypt because of a famine in the promised land. And in doing so, he's met by the Pharaoh there. And he takes things into his own hands. And he lies about Sarah being his sister. Right? Well, if you know the story, God was still faithful to his promise, even despite Abram's lack of faith. It says that he cursed Pharaoh. Even though Abram had lied, God was still faithful to the promise that he made to Abram. Why? Because God's a faithful God. Our faith, it doesn't make us perfect. It makes us hopeful for what God has promised us. God is faithful. But guys, what I'm trying to show you here is just because you're a Christian, just because you've turned your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that things are always going to go right. It doesn't mean that you're always going to do what's right. It doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle with your faith at times like Abram here. This guy was considered very righteous because of his faith, but yet he struggled. In fact, the Bible, on the contrary, it shows us that we're going to fall. It's not if, it's when. We all succumb to temptations. We're all going to struggle with the flesh at times. And listen, I'm not trying to guilt you. The gospel, it's all about grace. But what I'm trying to tell you, it's that you have to acknowledge your need for protection in this area. You have to acknowledge that you need help and that you need accountability. God's going to be faithful to you just like he was with Abram. But guys, he's doing that by connecting you to his body. The first part of this is acknowledging who you are in the flesh. It's acknowledging that we actually do struggle and that we need help. And guys, I get it. We're proud. We want to be self-made people. We don't want to owe anyone anything. We don't want others to view us as weak. We want to think that we can handle things on our own, but guys, that's denying reality. That's why Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Our pride, it brings about destruction and it causes us to fall because we fail to acknowledge our ability to experience these things. God called David a man after his own heart. Go read the story of David. As we have to acknowledge who we are. And we fall a lot of times because we fail to acknowledge who we are, and we fail to acknowledge when we do fall. And quite frankly, it causes us to deny the gracious gift of God in the church. And listen, some of that, it's because of the perception that we give the church. We're quick to judge. We're slow to show grace. Guys, look at what Solomon says here in verse 10. Woe to the person that's alone. Not if they fall. Listen to what he says. When they fall. Woe to that person when they're alone. Woe to him that doesn't have someone to pick him up. Woe to them that sweep it under the rug and move on. Woe to him that doesn't have any community around him that cares enough to pick him up. Woe to the man without community. That's what Solomon's saying. Here's a fun fact for you. As a believer, guys, you're not alone. God brought us together for this very reason. Yes, we're going to mess up sometimes. And guys, yes, we're going to fall sometimes. But together, we're here to protect one another. We're together to help each other up when we do fall. That's what community is all about. We're here for each other's security. It's a means of God's growth in our life. And guys, denying the church, denying your ability to fall or your need for protection, it again means that you're either ignorant of what the Bible says about sin in our own lives, or you're arrogant, thinking that you can do it all on your own. And I'll just give you the warning that he gave all the way back in Genesis chapter 4 to Cain. Be careful. Sin, it's crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. Be careful. Guys, don't be ignorant and don't be arrogant. We need community to protect us. That's the second thing. The third thing here, see, I'm going quick. I got 10 more minutes. It's that Christian community, it's productive. Look at verse 11 with me again. It says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And so listen, the illustration here, it's pretty simple. It's of two people trying to stay warm in the cold. By themselves, they continue to be cold, right? But together, huddled up, they're able to take advantage of each other's body warmth and produce the warmth that they each need. The idea here is that we all bring resources to the table, resources that we can use to aid each other in a common mission. Because the reality about our Christian life is that we've all been uniquely equipped with different gifts or different resources. We've been placed in different situations. And listen, we're all able to come to the table together with something different to offer. As Paul mentions in many of his letters, it's only through us coming together, using our gifting, can we truly accomplish what God wills us as a body. We are each a vital piece here at FBC. So when I worked on that Habitat for Humanity house years ago, they selected certain workers based on their areas of knowledge. And I know what you're thinking, what kind of area of knowledge could that guy have? But believe it or not, I worked in plumbing at the time, and that was what I was sent to assist with. Now, listen, don't call me when you're done. I'm not coming to unstop your toilet. Where's Josh Smith at? He'll do it. because that's what I was sent there to do. But we had all kinds of people. We had people with diverse skill sets. There was carpenters, electricians, people that worked in millwork. There was roofers. But it took a variety of differently skilled people coming together for us to be productive. As a church, guess what? It's the same. We need those skilled in teaching. As we need those called to work with kids. We need those gifted in hospitality. We need those with musical capabilities that can prepare our hearts for worship. We need those that give generously and sacrificially. We need those that are natural encouragers, the Barnabases. Guys, we need everyone coming together. Otherwise, we're incomplete and we will not accomplish the mission that's laid before us. We're just more productive together. And I'll say this too, we're more productive in taking care of each other's needs together. Look at the verse again. We see there's a need here, right? The two people, they're cold. They need to find warmth. As we care for, or we can't care for each other alone. Not one person can't care for the entirety of the church. We need everyone here at FBC. We need the entire family to properly and productively care for each other. We need each other when someone needs help. As we need each other when there's someone who can't cook themselves a meal. We need each other when someone needs to be taken to the doctor. We need each other in order to actively and productively care for each other's needs. And guys, our community, it allows us to biblically care for each other in these ways. Yes, we're called to advance the gospel, but we have to understand that in doing that properly, we're caring for each other first so that we can each go out into the different areas that God has called us to advance the gospel together. And so that's the third thing. Our community is productive. And then the fourth and final thing we see here, it's that Christian community is powerful. Look at verse 12 with me again. Solomon says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now, you've probably heard this verse used in a wedding ceremony. It's pretty popular for that. Of course, speaking to the strength of a husband and wife, and of course, Christ in the center of that relationship. But listen, that's actually not what Solomon is saying here, and it's actually taking that verse out of context a little bit. Of course, a marriage is only strong when Christ is in the middle, but this verse, it means simply what it says. With one, he says there is absolutely no strength there. It can easily be broken. But with two, there's a little bit more. It's a little bit tougher. But listen, he says with three, they aren't so easily broken. They're strong together. They're powerful together. So one of my biggest fears, it's being in the dark alone. Now don't pull any pranks on me because I'm in the church by myself on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But when I started hunting years ago, it was hard for me to go when everyone else went. And it wasn't the waking up early part that made it hard for me, guys. It was the having to walk to my tree in the dark and then, of course, putting my climber on the tree and trying to get up the tree before something like Bigfoot got me in the dark. And so what did I do when I would go hunting? Because, you know, you got to go hunting in the morning. That's what men do. Well, I'd immediately get out of my truck and I'd give my truck a couple beeps. Beep, 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 beep. You know, I just want to make sure that everything out there knew that I was there. And then I found the biggest, brightest, like $70 light that I could at Walmart. And I turned that sucker on. There's all kinds of lights for that's supposed to not, like, you know, show you're coming. I don't know. I'm not a big, good hunter. But, I mean, it lit up the woods. It looked like 4th of July out there. And then I'd walk through the woods like that, like Bigfoot crunching all the leaves and the sticks, right? And I get to the stand. And I had a climber, so I had to put it on the stand and climb up. And I would get there and I'd give a long shout, like, I won't do it, right, because I don't want to hurt your ears. But I wanted to make sure that everything in those dark woods, they knew I was there. I'm actually surprised that I never killed anything when I was by myself, ever. I don't know why. But listen, when I was with Brittany's dad or with some other friends, I was the guy telling them, "Hey, can you walk any louder? I mean, dude, we're not going to kill anything. They hear you coming." What changed? Our numbers. Guys, there's power in numbers. Right? If something came at us, I knew I could outrun Brittany's dad. There's protection there. There's strength. There's great comfort in knowing that whatever's out there, it's going to get him first. He's not watching, so I can say that. He doesn't hunt with me anymore. He's bought a license every year that I've lived up here, but he hasn't come. I think he's realized he kills more without me. But listen, on a serious note, we have to understand that there is a real spiritual fight, guys, and it's happening all around us. And guys, the powers of this spiritual darkness that Paul describes, they want us to fall. They want us to stumble. And don't think for a minute that they are not working toward that aim. They are. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone that he can devour." How do we fight it? We fight it together. as we're being hunted every day. And these attacks, they're not just coming from outside the church, but inside as well. Our desires, our flesh, they begin to form idols for us. We begin to justify the sin in our life. We combat that together. The moment we try and do this Christian life alone, that's the moment we put our guard down. That's when we fall. That's when we stumble. And for the record, the powers of this darkness, they don't necessarily win by causing you to fall into some unthinkable sin. Now, they do that as well. That's not where they win. Where they win is when you become complacent in the church. When you become complacent in the home. That's where they want you. That's where they win. And listen, in these moments, we need our brothers, we need our sisters who can speak truth into our lives, who can call out where we're straying, where we're taking our eyes off of Christ in the pursuit of something lesser. We're stronger. We're more powerful together. And guys, that's why God has called us to each other. That is why God has called us to a church. That's why our faith family is so important. That's why I push things like church membership and commitment. We can't do it alone. So I just want to close with this. How do you build community here at FBC? Because I'm just going to say this. I have mentors who lead these big mega churches. They pastor thousands of people. They're great, godly men. When you talk to them, none of them have a relationship with anybody in their church. Some of us have been enticed to go to churches like that. Guys, listen to me. It is impossible to do the things that we've talked about over the last several weeks fully, over the last, and what we're going to talk about, in a place where we can hide. Church, and I've said this over the last 2 weeks, it's not something that we do. It's not an event. It's not something that we mark on the calendar. It's a people that we belong to. And guys, we can only do some of these things together. So what's this mean? Well, we're not a big church. I don't think we'll ever be a big church if we stay rooted in the Bible. That doesn't mean we don't reach a lot of people. It doesn't mean our influence won't be great. It can be. But there are plenty of opportunities here to build community with the people around you in this room. There are plenty of opportunities. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you're going to be best friends with everyone. Even as the pastor, I know each of you guys, but I'm not best friends with each of you. I can't hang out with each of you guys. Even if I spent one day throughout the year, I'll get like one day with each of you. If you count it in weekends. Because Jesus, he selected the 12 and he had an intimate, closer relationship with three. Because you need a circle. A circle of people that is connected to this church. So how do you do that? Well, Sunday school, that's a great option. That can provide that for you. Small group of people that you meet with consistently to dig into the Bible like we talked about last week. We meet at 8:45. Home groups, that's what home groups are specifically designed to do, to help you build community. My home group's meeting tonight, and what we do is we come, we eat at every meeting. Because you see what these believers did? They broke bread together, right? We have a meal together. Of course, we study the scriptures, but we joke. We have fun. I kick them out like when it gets too late. Right? I'm joking. I don't kick anybody out. They usually leave. They get sick of me. But we play games, guys. That's my circle. That's my people. When we need something, I reach out to those people, and they do the same for us. Not groups. That's another thing. Now, it's a little bit smaller. That's on purpose. For us to build strong relationships with other believers. If you're a man, you meet with other men. If you're a woman, you meet with other women. And you go through scripture. You pray with one another. Let me tell you, I confide in the guys that I meet. I trust them. They have my back. And I know that if I fall into something that will take my eyes off of Christ or jeopardize the position that God has put me in, I know they're going to pull me aside and they're going to hold me accountable. Not because they're judging me, because they love me. These are the guys that I go to. As when I struggled last summer, they could tell you everything that I was struggling with. That's my circle. I have several guys that I meet with through the week. And we're actually gonna have a little like not group workshop during Sunday school coming up soon. If that's something that you want to get, I saw you guys made some commitments. We'll show you how to do that. It's simple, it's informal. But I promise you, if you commit yourself to it, you'll build a community that we're talking about here and all the benefits that come along with it. Guys, there's men's and women's and youth and young adult groups. There's a group for our young at heart, which is for our 60 plus. And for the record, those guys have fun. I'm just telling you, my daughter, she's come to that and she's like, I have more fun here than I do with the youth. No offense, youth. I mean, I teach it, so I can't say anything. But they have fun. I mean, our time, like we have it on the calendar for an hour. It's like 2 or 3 hours, right? And we just goof off. We have to, of course, again, we study scripture, we pray. But we build community. And they bring food, too. It's great. Guys, look at our bulletin. There's plenty of ways to get connected here. Go to our website. Look at the events. There's all kinds of ways to build community here at FBC. And remember, we need that community because we're profitable together. Guys, we're protective together. We're productive, and we're just more powerful together. And so reflecting on our passage here this morning, would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me? Guys, last week I asked you to make some commitments about God's Word, devoting yourself to Bible study or digging into it a little deeper. And I want you to do the same thing this week about community, because honestly, you can't have one without the other. I don't have sticky notes for you, but listen, I just want you to seek the Spirit and just see what He's leading you to this morning. Listen, right where you're at, I just want you to make a commitment to Him. I'm going to be more involved in whatever that I just said. I'm going to find someone to disciple me in a not group, or I'm going to do that for somebody else. I'm going to be more intentional about my community here because I know that you called me here, right? And I know that it's good for me. I know that I can't be productive. I know I can't be protected. I know that I'm more powerful together. And so where you're at, I just want you to make a commitment that you're going to invest in this Christian community that God has called you to in some way this morning. Listen, if you're here and you're still confused about all this spiritual stuff, you're not quite sure about church or religion or Jesus, I just want to share with you what the Bible tells us about who we are. It says we were created by God, who's loving and kind and gracious and holy. It says He's righteous, He's sovereign. And it says He created us to be good and perfect. He created us in His image. He gave us everything that our hearts could have possibly desired. He gave us everything that we needed and wanted. And yet we still wanted more. We still rebelled and we still turned our back on Him, thinking that we knew better. Thinking that we can become even greater than Him. And in that moment of rebellion, we allowed His creation to be impacted by our sinful flesh. And through that, we corrupt it all. And from that moment, every one of us, we've been born into that sin nature. We've all made the same decision to show that we think we know better than God. We've demonstrated the wickedness, the selfishness of our hearts. Bible, again, it says that all fall short of God's glory. None are righteous. And guys, for that reason, the result of sin, it's death. And it's separation from that which is good, which of course is God. The Bible also says that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, who was God Himself, according to John. He became like us, He lived like us, all so that He could go to the cross, pay the penalty of our sins. He died there so that He could defeat death and remove that eternity for us. It says He rose 3 days later. And the Bible tells us that when we simply repent and believe, when we forsake ourselves, acknowledge who we are, that we need a Savior, when we ask for forgiveness, when we confess that we believe in this Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says we will be saved. And we will be risen from the dead, and we will be connected to the goodness of God for all eternity. So, if that's you, if you haven't done that, if you haven't turned your life to Jesus, what's holding you back? Why are you waiting? Guys, take the free gift today. Repent and believe and allow the Spirit of God to begin to change you. And so listen, our praise team, they're going to play. I'm going to be at the back if you'd like me to pray with you, if you need anything at all. And when they're done, I'll close this in just a moment. So you take this time to respond, and we'll close in a moment.